Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Fairhaven. How are we doing? Okay, we got a few of you. That's great. I heard awesome. My name is Josh Hinken. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to open up God's Word. We are currently on week three of our sermon series, From This to That. It's our baptism series. The subject is about water. And really what we're doing is asking the question, why water? Why baptism? And is it true that when water comes into the Bible, moments happen. There's a dedication that happens. Something changes. And so 2 weeks ago, we were saying, hey, from the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was this water, and the Spirit of God was hovering over this chaotic water, saying there is chaos, and then God spoke. And he brought order out of it. And there's just some guy on here trying to draw a dog, if you remember that one. That's not going to happen again. But God formed the earth, the world, and then he filled it, and something changed. And then last week, we talked hopelessness to fresh starts, where the Israelites were standing at the Jordan River from a wilderness of hopelessness and looking ahead at the promised land saying, where are we going? But we have to cross through the waters. And there's a fresh start. And I believe in that the same thing is true for you and I, that baptism isn't just about getting wet. But there's something more that happens that marks you as someone that says, hey, I am all in to follow Jesus. I am all in. You don't have just some of me. You have all of me, and that gives me purpose. And so this morning, we're talking about pointless to purposeful. And so I started to ask the question, maybe you've asked the question, is what could I buy that literally has no point at all? And if you do just a little bit of thinking and you do maybe just a little bit of Googling, you might find this guy right here is straight up pointless, in my opinion. It is a pet rock. Anybody here have a pet rock in their house? Exactly, you don't, because it's pointless. Literally on the side of the box, it says, pet rock will be your new best friend. You can talk to it. It will never talk back. Pet it. It will never bite. Walk it. Always keep it on a leash and is welcome everywhere. It will be forever loyal and obedient. This is the pet rock. Do you want to know how much this costs? This pointless box that has literally a rock in it. $30. Pointless, right? I'm not getting my 30 bucks back, but it is a rock. And then I thought further, what else is pointless? Well, you know, you think about a box, right? A box is useful, but not this box. This one is a useless box. This is pointless because when you try to open the box, it closes itself. That is pointless, right? Like, what is this? I can't even, like, stick my finger in there and it will get chopped off. Like, it doesn't work. This box here is useless. And truly, when you think about life and what is pointless and what has purpose, the reality is this rock was never meant to be a pet. And this box was meant to be useful. And then I started asking my question this week is, what about you? What is my life for? What is your life for? Because you are not pointless. You do have a purpose. And maybe you start asking that question, what is my life for? Maybe it is to get a good job. Maybe it is to raise a family. Maybe it is to become independent. Maybe it is to follow your dreams and follow your passions. Maybe it is to help other people. But what is my life for? What is the purpose? And so this past week on my phone, there was this a trend, this data that came through from Think Media And it said this, that 45% of Gen Z reported that it is only a little true or not true at all that their lives have meaning or purpose. There's nearly half of Gen Z says that life is pointless. There is no purpose. You're like, who's Gen Z? Gen Z is from 1997 to 2014. That's 14, ages of 14 to 29 years old. And you might be in this room that over half of them would say that life is pointless. And honestly, I could chase this down for your generation too. I could chase it down for my generation. It just showed up on my feed. The reality is that you and I in this life, in this world, we find ourselves trying to find ourselves, trying to find and make our own purpose. And so we still are left asking the question, why am I here? Why are you here? The world is saying, hey, make your own purpose. And maybe that's where the problem is, that you and I were never meant to invent our purpose of why we are here. But in reality, is that something that you and I actually receive? Because if you really want to know what the purpose, what it's for, you look at the one who created the pet rock, because the creator will tell you what it's for. In 1975, this guy named, it's in small print, Gary Dahl was the creator of the pet rock. I don't know who he is and how he got to that point when I'm just going to go on Amazon, I mean, maybe not in 1975, but say, I'm going to be the one that says, there is this box with a little bit of a bed that you put a pet rock in, and I'm going to give its purpose. It's about the creator. In Genesis 1:27, it says, for God created mankind in his own image. In the image he created, the male and female, he created him. What we could ask is that if God created you, that maybe ultimately we don't have to invent our own purpose of why we're here, but maybe we just receive it from the one who created you, that you and I ultimately are created by God and for God. And that when we are disconnected from that purpose, maybe, or disconnected from our creator, we become disconnected from our purpose. And maybe you've heard, like, what does God want me to do with my life? What is my purpose? Maybe it is it this person I'm supposed to marry or this person? Is my purpose to figure out if it's this, a job I should have, or this job should I take? And that maybe there's a better question about purpose. Whose does my life belong to? I don't know if you've ever sat in that question. Who does my life belong to? Because I believe that my purpose is found when my life is dedicated to the one who created me. Your purpose is found when your life is dedicated to the one that created you. And I find it fascinating that throughout Scripture, God gives his people these markers of dedicating themselves to their creator, to God. They dedicate it. And so there's this fascinating story in Luke 8 about Aaron and his sons. Or Leviticus. Why did I say Luke? Leviticus 8. And it's interesting because there is this idea of water when it comes to dedicating yourself. That God has Aaron and his sons pass through the water as a way to dedicate themselves. And so in Leviticus 8, all good things come from Leviticus. If you've been asking that question all your life when you're in your Bible reading plan, all good things. And hopefully you don't skip over it. We'll see. But the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bowl for the sin offering and two rams and the basket containing bread without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assemblies gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses said to the assembly, "This is what the Lord has commanded to be done." In verse 6, then Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. Here we see this idea of being washed with water. It wasn't just about getting wet, but there was this moment for Aaron and his sons to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be dedicated to the purposes that God has them, saying that we are all in. And then it kind of gets a little weird. And there is this part where there's a sacrifice that happens, and there's blood that goes on three of their parts in their body. And you have this in verse 23. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some blood on the lobes of what? His right ear, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toe of their right feet. Then he splashed blood against the sides of the altar. So what is up with these three places? There's this big picture. We see them coming through the water, and then we have the right ear. We have the right thumb and the right big toe. What is that? There's this idea when you see it, it's what you hear. It's going to be dedicated to the Lord. Your right thumb, what you do with your hands, it's to be dedicated to the Lord. Your right big toe, where your feet go, it's to be dedicated to the Lord. The idea is that all of your life, every bit of it is to be dedicated to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. It's not just that God gets what happens here on Sunday morning, but what also happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day, that every bit of these priests, every bit of their life is to be dedicated to the purpose of God. But what we start to see, it's this idea of water. And so this kind of begins this idea of mikvah. Raise your hand if you've heard of mikvah before. Yeah. So that's exactly what I thought. This practice of mikvah kind of stems from Leviticus 8, of coming into the waters to be consecrated, to become ritually clean from the impurity to what is then pure, to be set apart from what your old life is to your new life. This is mikvah. Mikvah defined is just a collection of water for purification practices. And so this begins that throughout Israel's time, there'll be moments where there's a dedication, where you come into the water and you're fully immersed for ritual practices to be cleaned. In all reality, water is significant, this marker in someone's life from who they used to be to who they will be. From uncleanliness to cleanliness. It's a sign of transition. And so throughout history, we have this moment, we jump back into the water. Generations later, there's John that comes to the scene in the New Testament that we see in Matthew 3. In Matthew 3, John comes in and just says, you know what? Come and be baptized. Come to the water. Come and repent. Be clean once again. Turn from your wicked ways. Confess your sins and come to the water. And then Jesus shows up. And then this is what we read in Matthew. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John to come into the waters. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so Jesus is coming to John and saying, okay, I get this idea of baptism. Throughout generations and generations, it's mikvah, this returning back, this marker in time. And now we have Jesus saying, I have come to be baptized. But the problem is Jesus has never sinned. What is he there to repent of? John is like, I just kind of need you. Like, I need what you have, Jesus. I have nothing that I can actually give to you. But what happens in this moment, Jesus submits to the Father's will. Jesus submits by saying, you know what? Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus doesn't need cleansing. Jesus doesn't need this forgiveness. The reality is Jesus is coming to the waters to come all in because he's showing that in his obedience and submission to the Father. And he's going all in. This idea of mikvah is this idea of being fully immersed in the water. And so Jesus steps out of the scene of obscurity for 30 years, and we read this, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. Whom I am well pleased. So we see this interaction from Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father coming out of the baptism, out of this moment. He submits and he says, I'm all in. Not that he wasn't all in, but this is a marker saying that I am all in. And what you see here is that Jesus says, yes. Or the Father says, I love you. You are my Son. You are beloved. And I have sent you on mission to save the world from the sin and darkness. And I am well pleased with you. Jesus' purpose is flowing out of who he is and whose he is, who he belongs to. And this didn't stop here. He took from the baptism waters at the Jordan River, he brought it all the way to the garden where he says, not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. I am all into the purposes that you have to restore back what was broken, to bring healing to the spaces that feel lost and confused, to find chaos into order, from hopelessness into fresh starts, from something of a living a life like you and I may find ourselves in a pointless to something that actually does have purpose. And I believe that baptism ultimately marks our purpose. Coming into the waters marks that moment that you're saying, I am all in. My life is surrendered to Jesus. And I should have wrote a life fully surrendered to Jesus, saying that Jesus can have all of me. Not just what happens during the week, and then I'm going to give him Sunday morning, or I'm going to give him this moment, but Jesus can have all of me. This is the idea of this coming to the water, this mikvah, this immersion, going all in, this marker that happens of a fully surrendered life to Jesus. And so we have this story. I believe it's true. In the 15th century, this Ivan the Great is his name. He said, I'm going to get baptized. But then he said, but you can't baptize my hand because it's going to have a sword in it. And so he comes to the water with a sword in his hand, and he says, baptize me, but this has to stay out of the water. I'm giving everything to Jesus, but not this. And so he gets baptized, and the sword stays out of the water, and we just have to ask the question, okay, so not all of you? That's the idea of being baptized, is every bit of you just saying, I'm all in. And for Ivan, it's like, no, Jesus can have every bit about me, but just like my wrist and up and the sword, that's mine. I think sometimes we think about, like the priests, the ear, the hand, the toe, everything belongs to God, but then sometimes not everything belongs to God. Like you maybe want like eternal life, and maybe you want God to help you maybe in your marriage. Maybe there is a space where you're just like, maybe my money, and I just need things from God. And that is a space of coming to God in a desperate need of God. But I just wonder, the question is, how often do you give all of you to God? Every bit of you. And so there's this quote by Martin Luther that says, the Christian life is nothing else than daily baptism. Once begun and ever to be continued. The Christian life is nothing else than daily baptism, once begun and ever to be continued. That every day that you live on planet Earth, that you find your purpose is in the one that created you. That every day that you live on this earth, you realize that God loves you so much, that you're the beloved of His, that He came to the cross and died for you. That every day you realize that His mercy is new every morning. Which I would say, can I get an amen for that? No matter what happened yesterday and the day before, His mercy is new every morning. That every day a continued baptism says that your surrendered life is all in, because Jesus was all in for you. And so I don't know what gives you purpose in life. I don't know if you are like half of that Gen Z that says, you know, my life just feels like pointless. I've been living for things that I have kind of built the purpose for, and it honestly doesn't fulfill. And I believe the invitation this morning is that a Christian life, a daily baptism, a moment coming before the Lord each and every day saying, you, God, you're the one that gives me purpose. Why? Because you are the one that created me. That's where we find our purpose. And so I don't know if you've been baptized. I don't know if you realize what Ashley said earlier, that there's this one baptism, and that is next Sunday. Am I right? That's next Sunday, August 16. And so I am here to invite you. If you've been on the fence, you're just like, I haven't yet come to the water. Something happens in the waters. Time and time again, you find purpose in the waters. And so I'm here just to invite you to come. Come see us after the service. Sign up saying, I'm interested. I have questions. I've never been baptized, but today is a day that I want to make a marker. I want to say I am dedicated to God. And I don't care who knows. Like, I don't need to keep it quiet anymore. Like, it's okay that other people are there and celebrating this death to new life, this new purpose that happens out of the waters. And so we would love to talk to you. And now if you're somebody that is like, but Josh, you don't know how far I've gone. And actually, I was once baptized, and like, I don't know where to do next. And the invitation is that come and be rededicated. Like, we do that too. remember your baptism. Or if you're just like, I just want to come and celebrate. Like when I watched that video, a little tear came to my eye. No joke, because there is life change that happens when people enter into the waters. And that's where you find purpose. And so Ashley and some friends are going to come up because they, this past week, found some amazing purpose. They gave their life. They wanted to say, I am in for what Jesus has for me. So tell us about what happened this past week.
Yeah, so these are my friends. They didn't know that a second ago. If you saw, I had to like remind them that they're my friends. They're like, wait, us? Yes, them. Okay, I'm going to just hand this to you for a second. So we just had our middle school camp 2 weeks ago, and the theme of the week was, what does it look like to be a kingdom worker? And so when Josh was sharing what he was preaching this morning, I was like, that is so cool, because that is literally what we just experienced. There was this idea of being in God's rhythm, that the drums can just sit there, but until Mike has a seat and plays them, there's no purpose to the drums. And so these guys up here said, you know what? We want our life to have purpose. We want to join in God's rhythm. And so there was an opportunity one day to go up and hit the drum. And these guys did that, which we want to celebrate this morning. But also, yeah, I love that, which was really cool. And sidebar, life isn't meant to do alone, because I texted one guy, and I have five up here, which I think is really cool. But we have the opportunity to really work through what is the gospel. And so JJ is going to walk us through what the gospel is. So Izzy, if you wouldn't mind, this is kind of what we used throughout the week. And so it's on the TV right here that you can see as well. But JJ is going to walk us through what is the good news that Jesus offers us.
Okay, yeah. My name is JJ. How is everybody? Like, good? All right. So basically, like, an activity that we did at camp was, like, a bingo card. And we all, like, we had to find, like, random people and, like, say, like, what our idea was of, like, the three gospel. And one main thing that I say is that we all started off as God's design. And then we, like, something will always become broken, but, like, we always got to try to repent. And I also was saying how, like, God's always going to take us back, like, no matter what happens. All we got to do is, like, actually, like, I don't know how to, like, explain it. Like, you have to, like, actually, like, want it, though. Like, you can't just say it and just keep, like, doing the same thing over and over again. And I think they're trying, like, another good thing to do, like, you have to, like, start, like, telling other people about, like, what God's, like, original design was.
Yeah. So they had the opportunity, they were playing bingo as they did it, but these five guys got to go practice what does it actually look like to share the gospel with somebody. We hear it, we may have never actually shared it before, and so we gave them this opportunity to say, like, hey, God's design was to be in relationship with him. That's how he created us. And then sin entered the world, and that's where that brokenness and that separation happens, and so he sent Jesus to come and restore that. And now we are sent. That is our purpose, to go back into the brokenness and remind other people that Jesus came for them. So Hunter, do you want to share a little bit about what you were kind of talking to me about your experience at camp?
I mean, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Went out there.
You're fine. You had just talked about how you had such an awesome experience that you didn't want it to stop at camp.
Oh, yeah. So we went down there, we banged the drums to get back in our life with Jesus, and I texted my youth group leader, Joe, asking about, like, how to stay in this rhythm with Jesus and, like, have, like, so much fun with him on, like, this camp and everything that we went to. It was just so much fun. I got to relive what I've been missing the past, like, couple of months.
Yeah, just what we're able to do this morning, to say, like, we want our purpose to be something more. Thank you, guys. We're going to walk down here now. This morning, we have an opportunity to come to the table. Yeah, give them a round of applause. That's not easy. Good job, guys. We have an opportunity to come to the table because not anything that we've done, but because that Jesus invites us to the table. He invites us into the work that he is doing. our purpose is found in what our Creator has laid out for us. And so Jesus gathered with his friends, and he said, I want you to take this bread. And when you break it, I want you to be reminded that my body is broken for each and every one of you.
And so after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. That whenever you take this cup, do this in remembrance of me. And so whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, proclaiming Christ's death until he comes again. This is the great mystery of the gospel, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. This is not our table, this is God's table. And you are invited, after even hearing the gospel, and you're just like, inside of you, you're like, I'm giving my life to Jesus. He died for me, he rose for me. And I surrender all of me. This table's for you. Or if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, for a long while, this table is for you. If you're a kid in this room, have a moment to have a conversation with your parent, and this table is for you too. And so we're gonna just come forward. There are six stations, two over here, two right here, two over there, and also three in the back. That you're welcome to come forward and come to the table, that you may have find rest, that you might find purpose in Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you as you listen through this message. For service times and for more information on all the things happening in the life of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.